All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, open them up to Exodus 20. As I've been saying, most of you know that over the last several weeks, we've been walking through a series titled OSX Commandments, the operating system for the Christian life. And this series has been taking us through each of the 10 commandments. And we're kind of on the home stretch here as we get into the ninth commandment this morning. We're almost done. But if you haven't been around, this series, for me, it's been quite a ride, right? And when I started the series, I honestly had no idea the impact that this series would have upon me, upon our church. I've talked with numerous people who've been highly impacted by this series, been challenged by the things that God has been speaking to us through it. And I really believe it's because on a whole, we failed to realize how vital these commandments are for us today. You know, a lot of times, like, oh, that's Old Testament stuff. You know, that's whatever. But we fail to realize how vital these commandments are for us today. And I think many people have spent their lives kind of dodging these commandments, right? You know, they seem so restrictive and so controlling. You know, oh, that's Old Testament. Is that really what we're supposed to do? But what we've been discovering here is that it's actually our failure to live out these commands that really brings the restrictions, that really brings the pain and struggles to our lives. But when we walk in His ways, when we walk in His commands, we actually feel a sense of freedom, a sense of empowerment from the Lord. And it's because we aren't carrying around the weight of the world anymore on our shoulders. Instead, Jesus is carrying it for us. And so I want to encourage you, if you've missed any of this series, you can go online and you can listen to them. And I'm not telling you that because I did an amazing job of preaching it, but because it's the Word of God that's there to challenge us and encourage us to live the lives He's called us to live. And I think the Ten Commandments are important. They are vital to us. Ron Mell, he would say it this way, it's as much about God's love as John 3:16. His love for us, because He gave us these things, because He loved us so much, He wanted to protect us and keep us from going down the roads that He knew would lead to pain and to difficulties and challenges in our life. And so, as I said, we're taking a look this morning at the ninth commandment, which is found in verse 16 of Exodus 20. If you have your Bibles, you can read with me this morning. It's a simple verse, and it says this: "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Now, it's funny because as I was studying this, many people in today's world have taken this command and basically just changed it to, "You shall not lie." It's kind of been broken down to that. As a matter of fact, so I went and looked at our children's curriculum because I was kind of wondering about that as I was studying and looking. I looked at our children's curriculum and I noticed that's how this commandment is phrased in downstairs in the classroom. The little thing for them to put up on the board says, "Thou shalt not lie." And the thing is, that's true, right? We shouldn't lie. There are numerous scriptures throughout the Bible that tell us lying is wrong. You know, whether it's a little white lie or a big lie, it's still a lie, and we shouldn't lie. But you see, I believe that this command really goes deeper than just lying. You see, I believe this command is focusing on the words that we say about others, right? We're told in Galatians 5:14 that the entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. And you see, these Ten Commandments, they focus on loving God, right, and loving people, the two greatest commands that Jesus told us about. That's what these commandments focus on. They're focusing on how we love God and how we love people. And when we're failing to speak positively about others, then we're failing to love people. We're failing to live out these commands. Let me share a little story with you. A middle-aged pastor in a small farming community in the Midwest had been falsely accused of something by a couple in his church. It was a vicious, scandalous story, and it swept through the town like a prairie fire. "Have you heard about the pastor? Can you believe it? He ought to just leave town." You'd never think such a thing to look at him, would you? Guess he had a lot of us fooled. His poor wife. Well, after a period of time, however, the rumor was found out to be just that. An ugly, empty rumor without any basis or facts. But the damage had already been done. Many people in the town believed every word and were not reluctant to revise their opinion. Well, there must have been some truth in it, or why would everybody be talking about it? Sometime later, the couple who had spread the false rumor felt conviction of their wrongdoing and ended up going to the pastor to apologize. Confessing they had known the rumor to be false all along, they asked the pastor for his forgiveness. "Of course I will forgive you," he replied. "But could I ask you to do something for me? Something that might seem rather strange at first." Relieved that the pastor was willing to forgive, the couple readily agreed to do whatever he asked. "All right," he said, "here's my request. I would like you to go home and butcher one of your chickens. Then pluck out all its feathers and put the feathers in a bag. Could you do that for me?" They nodded, "Yes, but it seems so strange. Was the pastor asking them for a chicken?" But then the pastor continued, "I'd like you to go throughout the town and at each corner scatter some of the feathers, just a few, at each corner from your bag. Then, after going to all the corners in town, take the remaining feathers and climb to the top of the old city water tower, you know, the one by the feed store, and scatter the rest of them into the wind. Could you do these things for me?" They were mystified by this point, but nodded. They could do it once again. "Fine," the pastor said, "just fine." The couple stood up to leave, but as they reached the door, he suddenly called them back. "Oh, wait, I almost forgot. There's just one more thing. After you've finished scattering all the feathers, I'd like you to go back through town and gather them all back up again, okay? Make sure that you pick up every one you've dropped and every one you've scattered to the wind and put them all back in the bag and make sure none of the feathers are missing. Then bring that bag back to me. Can you do that for me?" The couple just looked at him with a puzzled look on their face. "Pastor, that's impossible," the man said. "The wind will have blown them all over the county by then." The pastor didn't say another word, and slowly the truth of his words began to hit the couple as they then hung their heads in shame. And yes, obviously, or at least I would hope, the pastor would forgive them for their actions, but they really couldn't undo the damage that had been done by spreading these false rumors in the first place. You see, if you wonder why God would make this one of the Ten Commandments, it's because God knows the power of the tongue. He knows the power of our words. And He knows the damage that they can do to others, even if later we try to retract it and pull it back. They're still out there lingering, those words that have been said. With this commandment, I think God is warning us to be very careful when it comes to what we say about others, how we talk about others. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, "The tongue has the power of life." It's a good thing, right? Yeah. But it also has the power of death. It has the power of both life and death. We can lift people up with our tongue. Or we can tear people down with our tongue. And when we speak untrue words about people, it can damage, it can hurt, it can destroy their lives. Now, no one understands this more than our Savior, Jesus, right? The religious leaders, they despised Him. And so they looked for any possible evidence that they could find to destroy Him. And guess what? They couldn't find any, right? And so when they couldn't find anything, what did they do? They would falsely accuse Him, right? They would falsely accuse Him of being this or that. They made up lies and accusations to pit people against Him. And because of this, a righteous, sinless man was crucified. Because of this, Jesus went to the cross. I think oftentimes we fail to realize what our words have the power to do to people. How they can hurt and bring people down. Later today, I'm performing a wedding. Weddings are such a beautiful thing, right? Two people in love, right? Committing to love one another and live their lives together forever. And it's a beautiful thing, and that's how it should be, right? But how often in our world, 5, 10, or even less, maybe years down the road, the husband or wife says, well, I just don't love them anymore. They're just not the same person of when I met, right? And there's all these, whatever the excuses are, we've heard them. But here's the thing, if they've changed in some way for the negative, then we first must look no farther than ourselves. You see, our words have the power to virtually shape the life of those we love. Are we bringing out the beauty in our spouses? Or are we bringing out something else in the words that we speak to them or about them? This is true about all relationships. As parents, words have the capacity to shape our children's lives. I've been in ministry for over 19 years. 15 of those years were in youth ministry. I loved youth. I loved serving the youth. But I can't tell you how many times I've heard kids tell me that their parents told them they would never amount to anything. And then they wonder why their kids don't. They tell them they'll never amount to anything, and then they wonder why their kids have turned out the way that they've turned out. And I've heard numerous young girls in my years of youth ministry tell me how they feel ugly and unattractive. And why? Because they don't fit into the mold of what the world says beauty is, right? I used to show this video in youth group. It was of this glamour girl on this magazine, right? But it actually showed this video of how that girl got there. And when you went to the beginning, this girl looked as plain Jane as could be. And it took hours, and it took makeup, and then it took tweaking the video, the picture, and all these things to make her look like that image that was on that magazine. And that's what we see as beautiful. And that's not even a real person. This image that we're told. And it gives us this sense of the fact that we're worthless. And many of those girls that I would see, they bought into the lies that people spoke into their lives. Oh, you're not beautiful. This is what beautiful. You're not this. You're not that. You're not worthy. You'll never amount to nothing. The tongue is a powerful tool. It has the power to build individuals up or to piece by piece tear them down into a pile of rubble. And you see, when we fail to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, false, damaging, crippling words will come out of our mouths. It's our human nature. Words that we may ask for forgiveness for, but we can't call them back. It's like the feathers, they're out there. No matter how hard we try, we'll never be able to pull it back. You see, this is what I believe this command is really focusing on and talking about. Whenever we say something to an individual that is less than what God would want us to say to them, then we're bearing false witness. And God takes this pretty seriously. This is why He made it one of His Big Ten, right? One of the Ten Commandments. Instead of tearing people down with our tongues, God's desire is that we would use our tongues, our mouths, our words to lift others up. In Ephesians 4:25, he tells us this: therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. He goes on then in verses 29 and 30 and says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. If we're going to open our mouths, it should be to build others up. I still remember my first grade teacher, Miss Gamble. And I remember when we would have a time where a child or a kid, one of the kids in the class, would speak badly of another child. She would pull us around onto the carpet. She'd get out her little guitar and she'd sing this little song to us. Because she said, you know, when we speak badly of others, that's gossip. That's not good when we talk badly of others. And she would sing this little song, "Gossip, gossip, ugly thing, such unhappiness it brings. If you can't say something nice, don't talk at all, is my advice." Right? Catchy little tune, catchy little words. But it's so true. If we're going to open our mouths, it should be to build others up. If we can't say something nice, then let's keep our mouths closed. It should be words that are encouraging and beneficial to others that come out of our mouth. Because when we speak false, demeaning, bitter words to one another, it says here in Ephesians 4:30, it actually grieves the Holy Spirit. Our reckless words can actually bring pain to the heart of God. And it's because we're speaking about His creation. God created all of us. We're speaking of His creation, and He knows the damage our words does to others, and that hurts His heart. The tongue is a powerful thing. God warns us about it in His words. Let me read this scripture to you. I'm sorry I don't have it go on screen. With everything going on this week, I just didn't get to that place this week to have everything on screen. But listen to these words as I read them to you. This is out of James 3. Verses 5 through 10. It is a powerful scripture about the tongue. It says this: "The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts." Although we learned from worship earlier, if we're going to boast about anything, it should be about the Lord, right? It says it makes great boasts. "Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." What does poison do? It kills, right? "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men and women and anyone else that falls into that category who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be." It's a pretty scary scripture, isn't it? When you hear this scripture about the tongue, the power that our tongue has. And the words here in verse 8, "no man can tame the tongue." It almost seems like, well, it's hopeless then, right? Well, then what hope do we have if we can't tame the tongue? But here's the thing, what is impossible for man is possible for God. We'll never be able to train our tongue to bring life instead of death. But God can. Real healing comes in our heart and mind when we realize that only God can accomplish these things in our lives. He is the one that can turn bitter water into sweet water. The people of Israel learned this lesson just before they received the Ten Commandments. Some of you may remember this story. I'm going to read it real quick to you. This is out of Exodus 15, verses 23 through 25. And shortly after they had crossed the sea, shortly before they went into Jericho, it says, "When they came to Marah, they couldn't drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. But you got to know too, at this time they had been searching for water and they couldn't find water. And they finally came to a place where there was water, but the water was bitter. They couldn't drink it. And so the people, verse 24, grumbled against Moses saying, 'What are we to drink?' Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw that wood into the water, and the water became sweet." You see, in this scripture, we see that God is in the business of turning bitter water into something sweet. Now, we can try to doctor things up, and we do. We try to take things that are bitter, and we try to add stuff to it and make it sweet. We throw whatever we can in there. But all it does is masks the flavor. We don't have the ability to transform it from something bitter into something that's pure and sweet. But God can. You see, God showed Moses a piece of wood in that place of bitterness that they threw into the water. And I think it's a beautiful picture because He used a piece of wood for us in the form of a cross, right? To do the exact same thing. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we now have the ability to overcome the bitterness of the tongue. And it comes from the Holy Spirit. He's given us His Spirit to help us deal with this powerful weapon known as the tongue. But the key is, it's what we talked about earlier in worship. The key is we must be listening to its nudges, right? We must be listening to its whispers that warn us when to open our mouths, and more importantly, when to shut them, right? When not to speak. How often do we feel those promptings but fail to listen to them? And then we regret it afterwards, right? We know, don't say it, Darren. Don't say it. Don't say it. Blah, right? And then it's like, oh, you try it. You can't. It's too late to bring it back. You just said it. It's out there. See, this is a challenging commandment because the nature of the tongue will always desire to tear down. It will always desire to speak falsehood. But we have to allow the transforming power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus' death upon the cross, right? We have to allow that transforming power to keep our tongues in check. I go back to that song, and I've added a new verse. Unkind words are an ugly thing, such unhappiness they bring. If you can't say something nice, don't talk at all, is my advice. I have no idea where Miss Gamble is today. That was a long time ago, 1979. But her words still carry great weight, right? Her words still carry great weight, and that's because they're the same words that the Holy Spirit continues to try to speak to us. Again and again, the Holy Spirit is saying, if you can't say something nice, don't talk at all, right? The Holy Spirit might not rhyme. I don't know. Maybe the Holy Spirit's into rhyming. I'm not sure. But those words have great weight because they're such true words that the Lord gives to us. If you can't say something nice, don't just shut your mouth, right? It's okay for me to tell you to shut up here in church, right? If you can't say something nice, just shut up. Be quiet. Don't speak. That tongue gets us in trouble. Let's be people who understand the power of our words. And let's be people who strive to speak life, not death. Toby Mac has an amazing song from one of his later albums, or maybe it was his last album, I don't know, but it's Speak Life, Speak Life. And my wife talks about that. My wife is a woman of words, and she talks about how the words that we use bring life or death. And it's true. That's what this commandment is talking about. We have the ability to speak life or to speak death, and God desires as His people that we be people that continue to speak life into people. And if you don't have any encouraging word to say about someone, then just don't speak at all, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You, Lord, that You speak life into each and every one of us, Lord. The fact is, Lord, we are all sinners. We have all failed and fallen short of Your glory. But, Lord, You continue to speak life into us. You don't speak to us as sinners and losers. You speak to us as Your children. You speak to us saying, You are my precious one, who I love, who I care about, who I have gifted and given the abilities to do great things for me. Lord, You focus on the positives and You focus on that which You've given to us, Lord. Yeah, we mess it up and we fail at times, but Lord, You continue to speak truth and life into us. May we be people who learn to speak in that same way to others, Lord. That we may be able to speak life into people, Lord, to encourage people to become who You've called them to be, Lord. That we would draw out the beauty in one another, Lord, not the ugliness. That we would be able to speak to people in ways that lift them up and encourage encourage them, Lord, in their life and in their relationship with you. That's what you've called us to do. You know the damage that words can bring, and that's why you've given us this commandment, Lord. May we be people who learn to walk in your will and way for our lives, Lord. May we be people who learn to speak truth, Lord. Who speak that life that lifts up those people that are struggling, that are going through difficulties. And Lord, even to those that may not speak life to us, may we learn to return their words of lifelessness with words of life, Lord, of love in the way that you have called us to, Lord. And so we thank you. We thank you for the example that you gave for us, Lord. You went to the cross for us, Lord. You didn't do anything to deserve it, but you paid the price to take these things upon your shoulders that we may now be able to overcome the things of this world, Lord. And so help us, Lord, walk in your will and walk in your way, Lord. We thank you. We praise you for these things. We give them to you, and we lift them up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.